from the front lines of the green rush. This is Green Entrepreneur, where business owners talk about how they found success in cannabis and how you can too. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Green Entrepreneur podcast. I'm Jonathan Small, the editor-in-chief of Green Entrepreneur and greenentrepreneur.com. My guest today is an NBA legend. He's also the founder and CEO of The Truth CBD Remedies, Mr. Paul Pierce. So after being chosen by the Boston Celtics with the 10th overall pick in the 1998 NBA draft, Pierce spent the first 15 years of his career as an all-star with the Boston Celtics. He got his nickname, The Truth, by the one and only Shaquille O'Neal. But it wasn't all dunks and trays for Pierce. In the year 2000, he faced a life-threatening incident outside a Boston nightclub.
You know, like I said, in my basketball career, I was stabbed 11 times. And that same season, I came and played 82 games, you know, which is already tough to do. And this was happening a month before the season. And so I just try to get the message out there that things aren't going to always go the way you want it to do, but you just got to continue to surround yourself with people who work just as hard as you, people who share the same vision as you, positive people, and just keep putting in the work. You know, eventually it'll all turn around.
Despite his heroics on the court, inside, Pierce was suffering. He had depression, PTSD, anxiety, and of course the pain that goes with being a professional athlete. And it wasn't until years later when he discovered CBD that he was able to manage his recovery without the use of opioids. And after a really chance encounter in a hookah bar with The Truth co-founder Elliot Mermel, Pierce went from being a CBD advocate to a big-time CBD entrepreneur. So in addition to his Truth line, he also has his own luxury battery and cartridge with Ease Wellness, which is called Vesper. So on the podcast, Pierce opens up about all of this. It's not every day you get to speak to an NBA legend about cannabis. But here it is, Paul Pierce and Elliot Mermel. So Paul, let's start with you. First of all, congratulations on the product. It's very cool and happy that you are a part of the cannabis world.
Oh man, thank you. I'm excited that you know, I could be a part of this and just bring kind of like a stability to the marketplace, somebody who's somewhat trustworthy and already, you know, have a name out there and a voice and a platform that people can trust.
Yeah. And it seems like more and more athletes are really coming out, particularly in the CBD field, you know, and really talking about how it's helped and impacted their lives. I know I just heard that Gronk got released a brand or is sponsoring something. And I know that you were very early to this, but I think your journey, let's talk about your journey to finding CBD and cannabis. It really started with a tragic incident in your life. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, but it took a while to get to the point that I am now, you know, because in the early 2000s, I was stabbed 11 times and with life-threatening injuries. And it really did damage, not only because of the wounds, but just like the after effect, just dealing with post-traumatic stress, anxiety, and including the pain of, you know, the stab wounds just on the everyday aspect. And then having to go out and play ball every single day of my life. So a lot of things in between to where I got to this point today had to happen. It was a point where you get addicted to pain medication, sleep medication, and that happened for me for a lot of years. And, you know, I had no clue about the marijuana plant or even CBD at the time. So for a lot of years, this is how I kind of like hit my problems head on, just using different medications that really had like different side effects on me to where it had me drowsy at times. It affected like my play and my energy throughout the day. But I just didn't really understand, you know, what else was out there for me because, you know, when you're in sports, there's so many banned substances and things that you're not allowed to take that you just got to go with what you can. That's pretty much what I did for a lot of years before I even got a chance to discover, you know, CBD and the non-psychoactive parts of it that can help not only my body, but my mind.
So you were using, I assume, like opioids, you know, after this terrible incident of the stabbing, and I think that was like around the year 2000.
Yeah.
You were using opioids to treat both the pain and also some of the psychological effects of that incident, correct?
Absolutely. And it's something that's like very addictive. It was just like, it got to the point where you couldn't go without it. And I saw it really like just changing me just mentally and physically. And it was bad.
Yeah, I can only imagine. I mean, it's bad enough to be stabbed 12 times and you have to deal with the effects of these drugs. So it wasn't overnight that you sort of just discovered CBD. So
no, it wasn't something that happened overnight. Me being that from Los Angeles, and you know, Los Angeles was, along with Colorado, was one of the first places to legally allow growers to grow. You had shops, dispensaries and stuff. And you know, you had a lot of things that I learned came through the black market, you know, to be honest. You know, I had friends that grew in their garage and we're testing different things, not only, you know, with the flower, but like the other aspects of the marijuana plant. And at first, I started off with a friend giving me like topicals and pills derived from CBD. And I was like, man, this stuff is pretty good, you know, and it's helping me. And I'm like, where does this come from? How is it? You know, it was just like before I had a clear understanding of what the marijuana plant can do outside of, you know, just smoking it or vaping it or getting high off it. What other aspects of this plant can do. And when he brought it to my attention, it was like, no, I was able to make cream, oral juice for you, you know, try this out. But this, you know, this is, like I said, this was something that was out the back door. This wasn't in stores.
Yeah, yeah. This is like, yeah, way before like what we're dealing with now in LA, because I'm in LA right now, like recreational, you know, there's a legit pot shop dispensary on every corner now. And it's, you know, they're high end. It wasn't like that back in the day. We're talking about right. We're talking about like really black market, gray market type stuff.
Exactly. And so like, that's why I was excited when the laws got less lenient. They started allowing statewide for shops to open up and really give the public a chance to really see what this is all about. And that made me really excited, because then I was like, you know, this is something I had a chance to use before it even really hit the marketplace.
But this is still when you were playing, right? And were you concerned about like the drug testing and stuff?
Yeah, I was. It was just like a lot of times I wouldn't do it as much as I did during the season, as much as I did in the summer, because you have more time. I didn't know if it was like something that would stay in my system or it would fail a drug test. I didn't know that until later in my career, that it didn't have those effects of the psychoactive and the part. And it wasn't on a list of banned substances for the NBA. And so, you know, the things that came from the CBD, the hemp-derived CBD. And so after a while, just like, okay, I could use this more in the season now, knowing that I wouldn't fail a test and knowing it wouldn't be harmful.
So at this point, I don't know, what year are we talking about here? Like the kind of mid, like 2010 or so?
Around like 2010, 2011. And I was dealing with some like serious issues, because from my stabbing, I had a lot of nerve damage. And that's where the topical really came in to help, because I was getting a lot of stingers from just shoulder bumping or landing on the ground, things of that nature. And then as you get older, you start dealing with knee pain. And I was just like, and then myself, I dealt with sleep apnea also. So, you know, I was dealing with a lot of things.
Now, were you primarily doing CBD? Was there THC in these products, or primarily CBD was your
medicine? It was primarily, you know, during the season, it was primarily CBD. Some of the products that helped me in the sleep during the summer, I would use contained THC. And that was just to help me sleep, because I had a long problem. Like I said, I deal with sleep apnea even to this day.
So when did you go from being a consumer of CBD to wanting to start your own business? Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, the reason is, it was like, you get so many products out there in the field and you don't really know which ones is giving you what they actually say they're giving you. So I was just like, you know, why don't I go out and try to start my own line, being that I have a great platform, maybe a trusted platform amongst my fans and people that people can trust, not just somebody trying to make a quick dollar or somebody just a lot of imitation products, like in everything you have out there these days. And so if I could be the voice of something like this, to where I'd be like, this is what I use and this actually works. Look at what I've been through and these are the changes that I've been able to make in my life, and get that message out there, I think it'll provide more confidence in people leaning in this direction. Because like I said, there's so many products out there that just don't work, and people trying to make a quick buck.
So how did you source the product that you wanted to use? Because, you know, obviously, you know that a lot don't work, but you were using products that did work. So when you were starting a company, I mean, you weren't growing your own stuff. So how did you, or maybe you were.
Yeah, I actually started my own company. I bought a building. We grew our own flour, took the trim from that, and developed our own oil. So, you know, this is all in-house from people who I trust and people that I know. This is no outsourcing and me slapping a name on it. This is coming from a facility that I own, that I monitor each and every day.
So how big was that facility?
Well, I have a 10,000 square foot facility based here in California. And we grow flour, to which we use the trim to extract. And we have an extraction facility.
And so you just said, yeah, I'm going to do this all my own. I'm going to grow my own stuff. And you partnered with just people that you trusted in the industry?
Yeah, absolutely. There's some people that I know that's been in the industry, some friends that I brought along that's been doing this for a number of years. And I just slowly but surely built my team.
And when did you decide to name it, give it a name and sort of brand it and stuff like that?
Well, I just thought, like, using my name, The Truth, that was a brand that's been with me throughout my whole basketball career. And I just thought it would just make sense, you know, to give something, give it.
What's the story of The Truth? I know my understanding is Shaq gave you that name, right?
Yeah, Truth was given to me early 2000, I believe like 2001. It was a game we played against the Lakers in the Staples Center. And I wound up having a huge game, 40s plus points. I think we won the game. And Shaq went up to a reporter, was like, man, I knew this guy could play. I know, I didn't know he could play this good. And he said in these exact words, this guy is the motherfucking Truth. and they printed it in the paper the next day. And it just from that day on, it stuck.
That's awesome. And it's great because it was in your hometown. That he said that. Okay, so that just stuck with you. So you knew that was going to be a good name. Did you, let just go through the process a little bit. So once you decide to set up the grow, did you decide, okay, now we've got to market this and create a product? Did you always know you wanted to do a vaporizer? Were you selling flour? Tell me a little bit about the sort of process of how you thought about how you were going to distribute this product that you were growing in your facility.
Yeah, so we set up the facility. I had a chance to meet a guy who's on the line with us right now, Elliot Mermel, and this is something me. It was crazy how we met. We were at a hookah lounge and chilling, and we got into the conversation of medical marijuana and CBD and oils. I think he had a vape pen in it with him, and I was asking where to get it from, and then we brought up the conversation. Then we just kind of built a relationship, and we was like, you know, why don't we start our own vape pen? And I thought it was like, you know, let's do some CBD in it. Once the idea came, it was just like, you know, I saw opportunity to get a building where I can like manufacture my own flour and oils. And we took a trip to China with some manufacturers about the hardware and coming up with a luxury line, something that was different. And it just kind of like took off from there. And this has still been in the making for the last couple of years.
Yeah. It doesn't happen overnight. Well, Elliot, it's a good time to bring you into the conversation. So tell us a little bit about the background that brought you to being in a hookah lounge with Paul Pierce. How'd you end up there?
I was meeting up with a friend who was actually in the cannabis industry at the time. And I typically stay away from the Hollywood area. I'm from New England, so I don't really enjoy the congested parts of the city. And I found myself trapped in kind of 12:30 on a Sunday traffic. Hadn't been to a hookah bar in a long time. Saw there was one close by and went over there during March Madness.
Yeah, we was watching the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, and it was just myself at the bar at the time. And probably around 1 o'clock, Paul walked in. And I was like, man, that dude looks shockingly similar to Paul Pierce. And you know, he was rounding out the end of his career, and I knew that Paul was from LA and obviously was a legendary Celtics player. And I grew up in Rhode Island as the only Lakers fan of my group of friends. So it was just an interesting dichotomy there, and just kind of told him that obviously just love basketball in general. And the games were always on TV for me growing up, and I'd saw him and just congratulated him on an illustrious career. And then at the time I was working on cannabis fertilizers and other cannabis fertilizers. And I was making topicals in my kitchen at the time and just said to Paul, I'd love to get your input on this and whether it works or not. And we exchanged numbers and from there started to explore the aspects of the space, commodity versus other ancillary sides. And that's where the ancillary part was born.
Wow. So you guys didn't know it. This is just, you just walk into a bar and Paul Pierce happens to be in there and, or he comes in later. And this is just a happy coincidence, right? Like you guys had no idea, didn't know each other before, hadn't known enough. And you just happen to be a huge Celtics fan. That's amazing story. So, Paul, you trusted this total stranger. What was it that...
Well, it wasn't that I trusted him. It was just like, he was, you know, in the space. Like I said, he had the topicals, he had the vape. And then I was just like, you know, where you from, where you live at? And so he lived like 10, 12 minutes from me. And so I was like, oh, wow, you live out that way, man. We should meet up and, you know, have a conversation about some of the stuff you're doing. And since he lives so close to me, it was just like, man, you know, why don't you come over to the house? Let's talk. You know, let me see some of your ideas you have. And then it just kind of clicked off from there.
That's great. So this is before, as far as a timeline, this is before you started your grow, or was this after you started your grow?
This is before I started my grow.
Okay. So you guys start talking and then you go into this business together, you start the grow. So when does Ease come into the relationship?
Well, Ease is recent. So we did something with them this summer and we did a launch of our CBD line in Boston. So we used the Ease platform, which is a well-known trusted platform, especially here in California, to launch their wellness line in Boston. And what better place than to do it there where, you know, I have a huge following, a huge fan base, you know, allowed our fans to enter a competition, come check out our product. And that was pretty much the official launch. Well, that was maybe like a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
So that's new. So, okay. So I've jumped ahead. Let me take it back in the timeline a little bit because I jumped ahead too far. So after you guys do your grow, you come up with this brand name. What was the mission? As you mentioned, Paul, the primary mission is that you want something that people can trust and you're a trustworthy person, trustworthy brand, call it the truth. How did you position yourself in the marketplace so that, you know, there's so many CBD brands out there. And of course there's you and there's only one you, but was there a way that you guys decided to kind of position it so that you would stand out from the other products out there?
Well, you know, at this point, you know, it's hard to really kind of stand out. You got like at this point in the game, you got a lot of different celebrities who are in it now. And the biggest thing is hopefully being a voice, being trusted, being genuine, and being authentic with everything you do. Because now you see it all, like you said, Gronk is in the market. You see different celebrities that's in the market for CBD. And I just think with my voice and me being a high-level athlete, playing at the highest level, being in the championships, being from L.A., playing in Boston, I think I have a story that I can tell that is something that has really helped me along the lines of my career, along the lines of my basketball afterlife. And I think a lot of people can like feel my story. And I think that's something that can kind of like separate me because of definitely the traumatic events that I've been through and dealing with anxiety, dealing with post-traumatic stress, dealing with mental health. These are things that I've had to deal with throughout my life. And that's the story I try to bring and let everybody know that it's real. It's real.
I just think a major component also as far as positioning and strategy and mission was with the creation of Vesper, the creation of the vape. You know, it always started with Paul and I usually over a game of chess, kind of making a mind map entrepreneurial wise, what was wrong with the industry? What did we wish that there would be in the industry? What kind of complaints did we hear? And really attacking it from the problem side in order to create the solution. And, you know, when we looked at vapes in general, we kind of created a list of what we didn't like, but then just on the highest level, as far as, you know, celebrity endorsed brands and brands that have a celebrity component, what we didn't want to do was just create something that was a white labeled product that didn't have any tangible value or any novel IP behind it. So that's where we realized, you know, the celebrity aspect is the draw, but in order to gain that customer retention and that customer trust, we really had to deliver a premium product. So it was kind of from the get-go, the ethos that the celebrity will draw the customer in and a superior product will retain that customer.
So was that the number one problem that you guys were solving, was that a lot of the product out there in the marketplace was not of good quality?
That was my main issue with it. Just bad quality, man. I mean, you're going to get that. You're going to people saying they got things that the product can do that it doesn't do. And ours, not to say that what makes us better, but ours has been through like a lot of testing, different tests over time to where it was just like, all right, we finally got it right.
Yeah. And the main testing being that you use it.
Yeah. And I've been the guinea pig.
That can't be the worst job in the world. Tell me about that. So did you have to test a lot of different iterations of your product before you, what was it like just testing a lot of seeds?
That's the testing process. You go through, you know, different things. I started off with Elliot's product and then we just got, it's got better and better over time. You know, he started off with a great topical and then, you know, you find ways that you can make the product better and better and to where it's just like.
But Elliot, your topical was being grown at it. Obviously the flower was coming from a different source, right? Did you guys kind of merge flower?
Like, yeah, that was coming from my garage at the time.
Okay.
And I think, you know, that's when Paul and I fused, you know, that's where we saw a unique opportunity. You know, everybody, especially in this space, talks about vertical integration, but vertical integration with respect to, all right, we want to have cultivation, manufacturing, retail and delivery and what have you. And I think that in looking at other industries, we wanted to take it one step further and add that intellectual property component that would be attractive to outside investors and people that weren't necessarily comfortable with the gray legality federally in the space. So that's where we saw the fusion of kind of the commodity side and the vertical aspect over there with the facility, the cultivation, the manufacturing, and coupling that with superior hardware component that's totally separated. That has, you know, at this point, about 10, around 10 patents, domestic and international, surrounding it to get that that ancillary value.
Okay, so that's your IP also is the hardware product. How did you come about getting there? So you, there's the stuff that goes in the hardware, but what about the hardware itself? How did you, what was the problem you were trying to solve in that space?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, I recollecting when Paul and I made our first list, it was, and Paul can add in if I forget anything, it was, we both didn't like that either a vape could be pressed to inhale or it was auto inhale. The battery life was terrible. The reliability was terrible. There was no on and off. You'd never know if the device was on or off. Sometimes it would pull, sometimes it wouldn't pull. Cartridges were leaky. Yeah, cartridges would leak. If you left it in a car by accident, you'd come back with the sticky stuff everywhere. You'd have to go at it with alcohol. And that's where we started just one by one going down that list and tackling each of those problems and adding that into our hardware. And then about 8 to 10 months later and about 12 prototype iterations, that's when we finally settled on our first hardware product.
So everybody I talk to that's in this business says it's really, really a hard business. This is no playing around. And some people, you know, talk to like even movie execs, whatever, people were getting into the business saying it's the hardest business they've ever been in. And I don't know if you guys agree with that, but I'm curious what some of the sort of most difficult challenges that you've had to deal with in creating this product has been and sort of how you overcame them.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that what you've heard is exactly right. I would say it's a nightmare. I mean, I think it goes, at least from our side, I mean, it starts in just dealing with a international component, you know, dealing with Chinese manufacturers in and of itself is challenging, especially in a startup bootstrap model. I think, you know, once you get here domestic and talk specifically about the cannabis space, you're not dealing with everything is gray. Everything is gray in terms of laws are constantly changing, regulations are constantly changing. You have to stay on top of that. But even just the relationships, you know, that I think entrepreneurial speaking, it's those relationships and that cultivation that allows you to progress along the life cycle. And in this space, you never know, is this someone that, all right, this person came off Wall Street and now they're in this space. So you know how that person operates. Or was this person dealing out of their pickup for the past 10 years and now has a suit on and you're dealing with that type of individual? So there's really just no sense of assurance in building those relationships that you have the confidence that you would in another space as like, all right, this is a reputable individual who I can trust to get this done. You just never know when you wake up. And I mean, that's even dealing with just everyday relationships. Then when you get into the nitty gritty on the CBD front, you've got a whole other issue of credit card processing, bank transferring, like all of that type of stuff that, again, you never know if you wake up one day and boom, your credit card processor decides they no longer do vape CBD. So, I mean, it's the challenges are so numerous, and I think it's just all revolving around the level of unknowing, if you will, that, you know, circulates in the space.
Paul, what's been the toughest part of this business for you?
I guess along the lines what Elias said is just dealing with manufacturers and also, you know, the competition. There's a lot of competition in the field, and you got to earn the people's trust. And like I said, and traveling to China numerous times and just remodifying our product, making sure it's perfect, dealing with people who say they're going to do something they don't always do. I mean, it's any business you do is always going to be a challenge. You know, me and Elliot talk about this all the time, and he gets down and I try to get him up because you have your pitfalls. But that's the challenges of a new business. And just relationships, just continue to develop relationships is what I try to say. Continue to be positive and things will turn around. And that's for any entrepreneur out there. Things aren't going to always go your way at first. It may not go your way for a while, but it'll come if you just put the work in. But right now, you know, we're in a time to where, like I said, it's just developing the trust of the people, of the consumer. And you have the trust, and then, you know, another product comes out, they move on to the next. So it's just about finding the consistency and giving our customers what they want.
Are there any lessons that you've taken, you know, playing at the highest level as a professional athlete? Are there lessons that you've taken with you from the court now to the cannabis industry?
Well, I think sports always provides life lessons. I mean, especially, you know, when you play a team sport or individual sport, it doesn't matter. You know, you're going to have your trials and tribulations. Things aren't going to always be great for you. Like I said, I played on like my first 3, 4, 5 seasons on losing teams. And, you know, when you come from a college program and a high school program who always won, and you get to that next level, you get to your road bumps to where you're not the best when you step in to the highest level. You know, there's other competition. You're vying for your spot to reprove yourself again. And that's the same thing in this industry. Just because I'm Paul Pierce coming into a new industry doesn't mean that, you know, I'm coming in and people are going to respect me or going to be like, trust me in the product that I bring out. You know, you got to re-earn that trust. You got to re-earn that validity of being somebody that people can come to, and your word is what you say it is.
You know, I was talking to Al Harrington, right, from Viola, and I don't know if you guys have ever, you know, worked
together. I'm very good friends with
Al. Yeah, I figure you must be. And I know that he has been, you know, really kind of quietly or maybe not so quietly lobbying the NBA to legalize at least CBD or permit it within the league. Are you involved in any of those kind of talks? I know he talked to the commissioner.
Well, I haven't been involved in any talks with the NBA, but I think it's definitely something. I think it's caught the NBA's ear. You know, the crazy thing about these sports leagues is, like, you know, players are always trying to find ways and answers for some of the surgeries and problems they have in rehab and going overseas, trying to find a method or a medication. And I just read like today that Wilson Chandler, he failed a drug test because of a medication that was on the substance abuse list, but it wasn't on there as of a few years ago. Like they just put it on like maybe like 2 or 3 years ago, but he needed it for his rehab. And so I'm saying, like, they should be able to allow alternate treatments, alternate things that you can do. And I think CBD, I truly believe CBD is the answer in these sports leagues. I truly believe that not only NBA, but all across at the highest level, NHL, football. I mean, especially sports where it's like heavy physical contact. I mean, absolutely.
Do you think a lot more people use CBD in professional sports than we know about? Like, did you see it being used?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's without a doubt. I did it.
Yeah. Right. So do other athletes, I'm sure, you know, we mentioned some of the other athletes that have come out and now starting, are other athletes coming to you and saying, hey, Paul, I want to get into this game as well. You know, can you give me some advice? Is that happening to you a lot?
I've had just small conversations, but I think because of the stigma that's on marijuana, they kind of associate it with CBD. I mean, it is associated, but, you know, it's a different part of the plant. So, you know, guys are still scared. You know, there's so much money in these industries. Guys don't want to take that chance. But the conversation has been brought up. But I think as more and more people learn that it'll open the doors in some of these sports leagues, I believe, you know, once it becomes federal legal, if ever, but then you'll see a rush. But I believe it should be open to sports leagues now. I think they should be the pioneers to opening the doors for everybody. All these athletes and influencers, they should be the trailblazers for this.
Did you ever have some concerns when you came out as a CBD user, making it sound like it's a bad thing, but that it might hurt your career, your image? I know you do a lot of, you know, you do television, you're a public figure. Did you ever have a few concerns about maybe I should just keep this between me and my body instead of making it?
You know, I never did. I mean, it wasn't like, I never really had like the good guy image, but I never really had the bad, you know, I was never a bad person off the court. A lot of people just didn't like me because I played for Boston Celtics. So that was just like my bad image as a guy who talks a lot, who's mean, but as far as off the court, I never got any trouble. So, you know, my image was like, you know, he don't care. It wasn't in a bad way. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like I was just like an actual bad guy off the court. Because people who know me know I'm one of the coolest guys you could be around.
I'm sure you are. But, you know, as a Knicks fan, it was tough. A lot of tough nights for me.
You know, I get booed everywhere, but it wasn't because of things that I did off the court.
Yeah. No. I mean, people respect what you do on the court. All right. Last question. As far as like marketing, so one of the things I hear from a lot of entrepreneurs in this space is, you know, you're limited in the way you can market your product because of, you know, regulations, just like the regulations, because it's federally illegal. You can't advertise, you can't do Google AdWords, you know, like the classic things people use to advertise. How are you guys getting around that advertising?
Well, a lot of it is kind of like through Instagram, through word of mouth, using my kind of like my celebrity just to go around, especially since California is a big market. I'm able to reach out to a lot of different people and touch a lot of different influencers and people in the game. And so, you know, that's one of the toughest parts too. You can't really market how you really want to because of the laws and stuff, but a lot of it is through social media and word of mouth.
And I guess doing podcasts like this.
Yeah.
Podcasts like we're on today. Absolutely.
Yeah, no, I think that's actually, it's incredibly difficult. And that adds even another layer of complexity that especially in this day and age, I mean, the Jeff Bezos model of how can I make it as, you know, one click buy? How can I make it as easy and quick as possible for you to give me your money? Or like Web 2.0, how do I keep you on our site? So it's not like 1998 where you have to go off to a different site to then put in your credit card to go to another verification site. You know, you're on three different sites. And that's the difficulty of these marketing hurdles is that, all right, if you market through Instagram or you figure out ways to market through Facebook, you can't do just a click buy. You know, you can't have sales through these Instagram or you can't do Google ads in a traditional manner. So it increases the time that someone has to spend to go from, okay, I want to buy this to where do I give them my credit card information? So, you know, there's different marketing hacks, if you will, that we've figured out for the hardware component, which is also restricted because it's a vape, but nonetheless, being restricted on three of the top three most visited websites on the planet and not being able to do paid ads through those is incredibly difficult, especially when those same three companies are obviously doing everything they can to reduce organic reach because organic reach means they're not making money. But if you try to give them your money, they don't want to take it. So it just, it makes it incredibly difficult.
It must be really hard. This product that you're doing, how did it, with ease, how did it get its name? Vesta?
Vesper.
I'm thinking of Vespas, like those Vespas you drive around Italy. But Vesper, how did it get the name Vesper? Where did that come from?
Man, we sat in the back and played chess many days and just thought about what's the great name. And actually, Elliot came up with the name. Come up with something that was catchy. Originally, I think we said it was like
Aerolite
or something.
We went through probably 200 names and then we trade checked maybe 20 and they all failed. And then went back to the drawing board, spent months, and then did the searches ourselves.
And you said Vesper is actually...
It's an evening cocktail.
Right.
Is it really? Is it a real? It's like Gimlet. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, Vesper. Exactly.
Yeah, oh, that's cool. That's a
sophisticated evening cocktail.
That's a cool name. And you guys, and the Vesper, how is it different? How are you positioning as different than what the truth?
I think that's, you know, just the hardware component. I think, you know, we've been treating this as both a razor blade model and kind of a SaaS model, but through the hardware. And by that, I mean the software that we're providing are the contents. So, you know, Paul has his cultivation side through Green Mamba that does CBD in state of California. That's cannabis derived, so it can go into shops, but still CBD. And then for out of state, you know, we do hemp derived CBD through Truth. And those are kind of the software component to the hardware in essentially building a superior platform that is Vesper, and then providing a superior software that can be loaded into that hardware.
So to conclude here, what is the sort of best advice, business advice you ever received that you kind of go to a lot when you're struggling in business, or that you maybe share with other people who ask you questions about getting into business? What is something that you've learned over the years that's really been helpful for you?
I think for me, you know, it goes along the same lines like what I did in sports. Just, you got to continue to just be persistent. You can't let things bring you down. I mean, we've had a lot of tough patches getting to the point to where we are today. And, you know, like I said, in my basketball career, I was stabbed 11 times. And that same season, I came and played 82 games, you know, which is already tough to do. And this was happening a month before the season. And so I just try to get the message out there that things aren't going to always go the way you want it to do, but you just got to continue to surround yourself with people who work just as hard as you, people who share the same vision as you, positive people, and just keep putting in the work. You know, eventually it'll all turn around and you just can't get discouraged. I mean, it's easy to say, because in the business world, you know, it's more than just getting in the gym, putting up shots. It's borrowing money, spending money that maybe you might not have. And then you look up and you're like, you spent your last dime on something that, you know, it hasn't produced the way you'd liked it to produce. But, you know, talking to other business people, I've talked to the guys from like Aspire, started with like $50,000 to start the business, and they've grown to what, a $1 billion industry?
Yeah, like $3 billion.
And I was just like, wow, that's very encouraging. You hear stories like that.
And I think for me, I'm a big quotes guy. And I think that two big quotes that I like is, I'm a firm believer that failure is just a matter of perspective. And kind of in that light, you know, Thomas Edison talking about the light bulb, coming up with it on his 100th try, or him and his team, and said, you know, I didn't fail 99 times. I just found 99 ways not to make the perfect light bulb. And, you know, that's a great. And then I think also just talking with people and learning from their mistakes so you can try your hardest not to repeat them. And that's why, you know, history, I think, is an important topic for me. And along those lines, you know, Henry Wadsworth saying, single conversation across the table with a wise man is worth more than 10 mere years study of books. So I think, you know, just listening to other people's opinions, learning from their mistakes, trying to improve, and then just knowing that quote unquote failures will happen, but you're not really failing ever if you're learning along the way.
Well, I guess I should ask you, and I don't know how public you are about the sales of both your products, but are you guys encouraged? How have the consumers responded to the product?
The consumers love it. You know, I think everybody that we've had try the product really loves it. Right now, our issue is just, you know, getting the product at just a massive distribution. Yeah. Right now. But everybody who's tried the product loves it. We're always trying new ways to make it more innovative. How can we, you know, make it better? How can we make it different? And so that's always the constant, the ideas that we talk about pretty much each and every day. And we have actually a new product, more sleek product, that's going to be launching next year. So, you know, in order to stay on top of the game, you know, you got to be able to adapt. And I think, you know, we've tried to adapt over the last couple of years.
And yeah, perpetually innovate. I think, you know, you've got good months and bad months, but year over year, our growth rate is, I think, the best position. And that's well into the hundreds of percent growth year over year, you know, from double figure sales into triple figure sales, just year over year and improving. But yeah, like Paul touched on, I mean, the biggest thing in a team that's as bootstrapped as us, which is, you know, essentially 2 to 3 people with some contract help as well, the big thing is getting a few number of large distributor partners so that you can really focus on the relationships with those partners and really just push volume through those avenues and allow yourself to focus on also what Paul said, which is innovating product cycle and constantly coming out with new devices.
So because this is a CBD product, I'm assuming you can sell it across state lines, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So where will you find the truth? I like that.
Yeah, right now, you know, we have our Vesper products are being sold through vapevesper.com. And you can get empty cartridges there. Converters, which is one of our main differentiators, which allows you to use any standard cartridge through our device. And additionally, you know, on the credit card front, we're selling the Truth CBD filled pods through a website, truthpods.com. But then, you know, credit cards, we've gone through about 8 credit card processors there and just got a new application going today. Hopefully that'll get online. So for now, you know, Ease Wellness is still the only online distributor that has our filled cartridges. And then, like I said, product cycle, Paul and I are about a month and a half away from launching CBD topicals as well. And that'll be CBD topicals and oral sprays. And that'll be limited to a single SKU of the topical and a single SKU of the oral spray in order to ensure that, you know, we're delivering the best product. And that will be easier in getting the credit card processing. And we'll be launching that website soon as well.
Cool. Well, this is great, guys. And again, congratulations and for all your success and for fighting the good fight.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah. I look forward to trying the product myself. I've got to talk to somebody about that.
Oh, no, we'll send you some, John. Don't worry.
All right. I appreciate it. I'm here in LA. I'm easy.
Oh, it's perfect. We can just, handle it.
Yeah, exactly. But best of luck to you guys. Thanks so much for doing this call.
All right. Thank you, Jonathan. It's been a pleasure.
All right. Thank you. Take care, guys.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Green Entrepreneur Podcast. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and other podcast hosting services. Check us out at greenentrepreneur.com. Download our app at Green Entrepreneur. Check us out on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We are everywhere and we would love to hear from you. So please give us a shout out. Love to hear from our audience. Until then, we'll THC you later.